Okay. Good morning. It's my joy to be here. That's good. I got a response. I like it. Good. It's unusual. Good start. I don't know if we welcomed you guys. I haven't seen you before. I don't know if you've been here before. Have you? Okay. Well, welcome. It's a joy to have you. I pray that your time with us will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." I'm sure many of you have heard about it. It's been kind of in our social media circles. I'm sure many of you have heard about the new bill that passed in Canada recently that got entered into Canadian law. A bill against conversion therapy. And if you don't know what conversion therapy is, I'm not going to explain that now. You can go Google conversion therapy afterwards and prepare to be discouraged. But I'm sure you've heard that there's a new law that was passed into, Canadian law, banning conversion therapy. And many churches in America and Canada in particular this morning are taking a stand. This is still going to happen for them. Morning for them, still coming. But they're going to be taking a stand against that bill and preaching on biblical ethics of sexuality in their sermons that morning for them. And I thought about it, and I looked into it a little bit, and I knew that there were other countries who also had similar legislation. But I wonder if you realize that something like 15 countries already have laws in place that ban conversion therapy. There are many other countries, like big countries. England, at the beginning of last year, England began a serious process of investigating bringing similar laws into their country as well. This is something that's only increasing. And conversion therapy, maybe a nutshell, very, very brief, very oversimplified definition. The idea of conversion therapy is that you are not allowed to, let's call it, attack someone's identity with an ideology that says his identity is wrong. You need to change who you think yourself to be. You need to become this kind of person. That's an attack on his dignity as a person, and so that is wrong and shouldn't be done according to these laws. In effect, those laws are not created. They were not created to attack Christianity as such, right? These laws are not intended to counter the influence of Christianity into a country. But it's hard not to see how that's eventually exactly how these laws will be applied. Ultimately, that's exactly what's going to happen. All the while, these laws they're intended to counter the idea of discrimination, right? Their intention is to eradicate discrimination from taking place. But what's going to happen is that, well, I guess what has happened is that biblical counseling, as a result of that, has become illegal. Right? It is now illegal to practice biblical counseling in Canada. That's probably a slight exaggeration of the facts, but it is only a slight exaggeration. That's where it's headed. The idea that the Bible could make authoritative claims about who we are as people and what we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to live, that kind of thing is growing increasingly intolerable in a society that has rejected God and his claims of authority over us. And this agenda, right, this anti-God agenda is what I want to call it, it's being pushed much more rapidly than you might realize. I heard recently about a cell phone manufacturer. It's one of the big cell phone manufacturers in the world, a Chinese company, who in China, I've heard of people who experience the same thing outside of China, but in China, in their app store, this manufacturer pulled all the Bible apps from their app store so that you cannot read the Bible on their devices. That's an effort to appease the Chinese government. The hostility towards Christian values is only increasing. The same thing is true in our country as well, right? We have a hate crime bill that's been passed, to the best of my knowledge. That bill is now in effect. The application of that hate crime bill is going to look exactly the same as the laws against conversion therapy. It comes down essentially to the same thing. In fact, I have a friend who is in the process of actively memorizing specific verses from the Bible because he's expecting that someday soon he's going to end up in a court of law where he's going to have to defend his convictions. And he wants to be ready when that day comes so that he can draw from the truth of God's word. Now, you might think that's a little bit over the top. This friend of mine is on a weekly radio program that's got quite a bit of circulation, and so it's a much more realistic fear for him than you might think at first. It's not quite as outrageous as it sounds. My question for you this morning is this: how are you getting ready? How are you getting ready for the coming opposition? What are you doing to prepare yourself? Are you ready now to make a defense for the hope that is within you? If you pull your phone from your pocket tomorrow morning to start doing your quiet times, or you're somewhere talking to someone and you want to quickly show them a verse, so you pull out your phone and your Bible app has suddenly been deleted from your phone, are you going to be lost? Will you be okay if that happens? How important is Scripture to you? Is it important enough for you that you've begun to bury Scripture in your heart? Can you say with the psalmist, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." In a changing world of increasing uncertainty, do you find yourself inching ever closer to the firm foundation of God's word, or are you like that double-minded man that James describes in James chapter 1, who's being tossed to and fro by every changing wind of the world's doctrines? And we need to figure out how to remain steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58. You want to not only survive, but actually flourish amidst all the increasing fear-mongering and manipulation that's happening all around us, there's only one place you can turn. There's only one source of truth that will shore up your resolve as you contend for the faith that has been handed down to us once for all. We need to turn to God's word, right? Unless we treasure God's word in our hearts, we stand absolutely no chance to, well, stand. It's especially clear as you look at the Psalms. Just think about Psalm 1, for example. Right? How blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his word day and night. He is like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Psalm 37, verse 31 says that the righteous man's steps will not slip because God's word is in his heart. If you're like me, you've already thought of Psalm 119, verse 11 in this context, right? Psalm 119, verse 11, "Your word I have treasured in my heart so that I may not sin against you," says the psalmist. And that's great advice. But in a world full of distraction, it can be hard to figure out how exactly to go about that process. How do you treasure God's word in your heart practically? What initially got me thinking about all of this was my study of the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs chapter 3 in specific, and just seeing how Solomon thinks about the concept of living a successful life. What is living successfully look like for Solomon? In chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, Solomon is really giving us his roadmap for success. And for Solomon, everything flows out of a life that is based firmly on the foundation of God's word. You want to be successful? Being successful begins with the process of internalizing Scripture. There can be no true and lasting success that doesn't flow directly out of our devotion to God's word. And that makes total sense, right? If God is the one who made us, it would make sense that he knows how we're supposed to live. It would make sense that his advice is the best advice you could find on how to live your life. So my hope for us this morning is to just look at some practical aspects of what it means to treasure God's word, to bury his word in your heart. Placing Scripture at the center of your everyday life is what cuts to the very essence, the very core of what it means to be wise in the Bible, is that idea. Scripture needs to be central. To be attentive to Scripture is to be wise, and to disregard and forget Scripture is to be a fool, according to the Bible. That's why Proverbs 3 verse 1 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. This morning I want us to spend some time just thinking about this idea of meditating on God's word, how we go about the process of meditating on God's word. I want us to see the mandate to meditate on God's word, and then I want to give you some motivations to meditate on God's word, and then finally, I want to give you a few methods for meditating on God's word. So the mandate, the motivations, and methods to meditate on the word of God. When it comes to the mandate for meditating on God's word, we don't have to go any further to our opening verse, right? Proverbs 3 verse 1, my son, do not forget my commandments, but let your heart keep, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Like I said, in my own study of this verse, it's where I was first confronted with this need that it's so important for us to internalize scripture. Proverbs 3 verse 1, in case you were wondering, this isn't a suggestion. This isn't advice, mere advice. This is an instruction. It is a command from God himself. You need to meditate on his word. And Solomon says, do not forget my teaching. That word forget implies the idea of abandoning or forsaking or neglecting his word. Don't do that. Deuteronomy 8 verse 11 says that when you ignore God's word, when you ignore his commandments, you forget God himself. Those things are linked together. And I think for us, the temptation to do this, what this looks like practically, is for us to begin to substitute the truth of scripture with our own idea of wisdom. We find other so-called sources of wisdom. Right? We replace God's word with what seems right in our own eyes, with what gets you the best results as you go through the day, or what gets you the least amount of opposition from the world around you. But instead of abandoning God's word, the second line in Proverbs 3 verse 1 tells us that our hearts are to keep, to guard, to watch over his commandments. Okay, but what does it look like? What does it look like to keep his words in your heart? It's my question from Psalm 119, verse 11. How do you treasure God's word in your heart practically? How can you cultivate scripture's controlling influence over your thoughts and your deeds and your emotions? You do it by letting God's word so penetrate into your being that it fundamentally changes who you are, how you think, how you instinctively respond and react to situations. It's what Paul talks about in Romans 12, verse 2. We shouldn't be conformed to this world. We should be transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds, so that we will prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay, so again, how practically do you let the word of God renew your mind? You do it by internalizing scripture. To internalize scripture is more than just reading it, right? If you have a Bible plan and you're reading through the Bible in a year or in 6 months or 2 years, you can do better than 2 years, but if you're reading through a Bible plan, that's great, that's good. You should be reading the Bible. But don't think just reading the Bible is the same as internalizing scripture. It's not the same. Internalizing scripture requires that you meditate on God's word. You need to stop, you need to think about it, you need to think about its applications, and those things must become true for you. How are you going to make sure you're not lost? It's coming, right? It's coming. You're going to pull your phone out of your pocket one day, the app's going to be gone. You're going to go to a bookstore, and they're not going to sell Bibles anymore. Right? How do you make sure you're not lost when that day comes? How do you start preparing for it now? We need to find a way for the truths of Scripture to move from these pages, to be in our hearts, to be lodged within us. It must become your treasure. And the only way to do that is to develop a daily habit. I should say regular. I guess it doesn't have to be daily. Daily is better. More than once a day is even better. But a regular habit of intentional meditation on God's word that must be part of your life. And I can't think of any better practical way to develop a habit of regular meditation than developing a habit of regular scripture memorization. It is, you have to try. to memorize a passage and not think about it. Those two things tend to go together. And it's wonderful to belong to a church. I hear people, this weekend I heard people thank the Lord for belonging to a church that has a high commitment to God's word. Right? That's a prayer that often gets prayed in our circles. God, I thank you that I belong to a church that elevates your word, where your word is preached, where it's applied to our lives. That's great. Right? It's good to be thankful for that. But that doesn't mean that you personally have a high commitment to God's word, right? Belonging to a church that has a commitment to God's word is a step in the right direction, but that's not the end of the journey, right? You need to show personal commitment to God's word in your own life. Fighting words. I'm going to make this painfully obvious. When we extended an invitation to memorize the book of Titus, did you sign up? Why not? Second question. Have you finished? Have you memorized the whole book? Some of you dropped off after a week. Some of you dropped off after 6 months. Some of you went all the way through. Right? What does your enthusiasm for that opportunity show about your personal commitment to God's word? It's a little bit confrontational, I know. But why don't we do it, right? Why do so few people do it? There are people, like, just to be encouraged, there are people who did, right? There are people in our church who memorized the entire book of Titus in the last 6 months. That's pretty cool. But why were there so few? I'll tell you why. Because it's hard work. It's hard work to memorize a book of the Bible. We're either just too lazy to do it, or, like, you know, it's that simple. You think it's a big job. I'm too lazy. I'm not going to do it. I don't have to. I'm not going to. Or you think it's such hard work. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I have the ability to do it, so I'm not even going to try. Or maybe you think, you know what? I probably could do it. I think I could probably memorize the Bible. I have enough movies and songs and things in my head. I could probably put scripture in there. But is it going to be worth the effort? Is it going to be worth all that hard work that it requires? I think those are the three main reasons why we don't do it. The laziness issue can be dealt with pretty quickly. God has given you a direct commandment in the Bible to put scripture into your heart. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. I could keep listing verses. That's not the only one. There are more verses. But how many direct, overt instructions do you need from God to say to you, you must internalize scripture before you're going to begin obeying it? Like, one should be enough, right? If laziness is the reason why you haven't begun or maintained a habit of scripture meditation, then you need to put that to stop, because it's sin. It needs to die. You must meditate on God's word. You have no choice. You are either meditating on his word or you are in sin. That's it. I don't think all of you are lazy. I think some didn't do it because you're lazy, I'll be honest. But I think that's a small percentage of the people. I don't think that's most of us. I think most of us maybe think we can't do it. Most of us are too scared even to try. You know, it might be that you like the idea, you're kind of up for the challenge of hard work, you don't mind that, but deep down inside, you remember how much you hated school, you know? And what you hated about school is how hard it was to memorize facts for exams and tests and how stupid it made you feel, and this seems like more of that, and you don't want that. I understand that. Many people feel that way, but if that's you, I want to encourage you, right? I want to set you free to a certain extent. I want you to understand that the key component to your ability to memorize scripture is not your ability to memorize. That's not the most important factor. You don't have to memorize scripture in your own strength. That should set you free. Your ability to remember stuff is not the most important. If treasuring God's word in your heart is a command, and it is a command, then it becomes a question of sanctification, right? If it becomes a question of sanctification, then it means that the Holy Spirit becomes involved in this process to enable you, to strengthen you to obey. God is infinitely more concerned with your sanctification than you are. That's great news. It's wonderful news. It also means that the divine God himself, the God who is omnipotent, is committed to your internalization of Scripture, is committed to your meditating on his word. He's commanded you to do it, and he will help you to obey. That's great news. Your memory might be terrible. Do you know what? God's strength is stronger than your terrible memory. And that's great. Dare to hold God to his promises. Go to him. Say, I want to do this. I want to meditate on your word. I want to internalize your word. I want to be changed by it. Isaac saying memorizing scripture is the way to do it. I don't think I can memorize the Bible, but he says you will help me. Your word says you will help me. Help me. Ask him. He will not fail you. That doesn't mean you're going to wake up tomorrow morning with like perfect recall. Don't expect that, right? As with every other area of sanctification, you will work hard. You will work yourself to the bone, but you will do it with the strength that he supplies. You can do it. All of us can do it. It'll still be slow, but it's possible. I'm going to make this statement. If you are a Christian, if you are regenerate, you can treasure God's word in your heart. It's possible. Actually, I don't think it's as much work as we might imagine. I think you'd be surprised at how much you accomplish if you just devote, 5 minutes a day. If you would give 5 minutes a day, every day, like if you're going to be wild, give 15 minutes a day, right? 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes somewhere in the middle of the day, and 5 minutes at the end of the day. It's not that much. You'd be surprised what happens. Okay, so don't be lazy, right? Sin. Don't think you can't do it because your strength isn't the most important thing. But then is it worth it, right? So it's all this work. I can do it. I'm willing to believe that. I don't think God is a liar. I think I can do it. But it's going to be a lot of work. I get that. So why, Isaac? Convince me that it's worth all the effort. I take that challenge. My second point for this morning, I want us to see some of the motivations for meditating on God's word. Okay, the first benefit of scripture memorization is that it will strengthen you in your practical daily fight against sin and Satan. Right? Ephesians chapter 6 warns us that when we're fighting against sin, when you fight against sin and temptation, what you're actually doing is you're engaging in warfare. You are battling against the spiritual forces of this darkness, says Paul. His advice for us is that we pick up the whole armor, take up the whole armor of God so that you might be able to stand and resist the devil. And then in verse 17 of Ephesians 6, Paul says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay. So in Paul's picture, the sword is the only like weapon that you can use offensively and defensively in your battle, right? In his picture, the sword is God's word. So picture someone who is in the midst of a duel with someone else. Someone comes at you, sword swinging, attacking you. If you have to waste precious moments to first pull your sword out of its scabbard and get it up so that you can defend yourself, what's going to happen? You're going to lose your head. By the time you have the sword out, it's gone. Your head's gone, right? You need to have the sword in hand as you walk towards the enemy or its tickets. The same thing is true with our spiritual battle, right? When temptation comes, it comes. It's there now. You don't have time to walk to your bookshelf and pull a concordance off and start looking for verses on the specific temptation, right? You've already lost the battle. Scripture needs to be not in your hand, but in your head, in my analogy, right? The Holy Spirit will bring to mind, he will use the truths that you have already buried in your heart. Do not expect him to miraculously inject truths that you have never meditated on into your thinking. He will use what you have put there with his strength. If there's nothing to draw from, you've lost the battle. Right? So scripture memorization will aid you as you fight against sin and Satan. Secondly, scripture memorization will encourage you in the midst of suffering and hardship, because it will expand your perspective to be larger than just your immediate circumstances. If you've memorized 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, and you're confronted with suffering and hardship for the sake of the gospel, then the Holy Spirit will remind you that when you suffer for Christ, you are producing an eternal weight of glory. That's what he says, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. When you're suffering and you have 1 Peter 1, verse 7 memorized, then you will remember in that moment that the only reason why you're suffering is because God has considered it to be necessary for you to suffer, and he's using your suffering to purify and strengthen your faith so that you yourself might see the purity of your own faith. Romans 8, verses 8 and 29 will add to the chorus of verses in your head in that moment, and you will remember that God is not only in control of your suffering, but that he is using your suffering for good, that he promises to use suffering, as with everything else, to conform you into the image of his own Son. Thirdly, scripture memorization will bring you hope when you teeter on the brink of despair. Do you feel overwhelmed? You feel abandoned. If you've memorized Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, you will remember in those moments that no matter how I feel, God has promised me that nothing will be able to separate me from his love that he has given me in his Son. Nothing in all of creation can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. John 14, verse 18 will remind you that God has not abandoned you, because Jesus has promised, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. He goes on to say that he will send his Spirit. Fourthly, scripture memorization will be a source of strength to you when the relentlessness of the battle against sin begins to wear away at your resolve. Verses like Ephesians 1, verses 19 and 20 will remind you, for example, that we battle in this process. We battle against sin and against the world and against temptation. And as we battle, the strength that God uses, energizes us with, is the same strength that he used to raise his Son from the dead and to seat him at his right hand in heaven. Philippians 2, verse 13 promises that God himself is the one who is working in us, not just the desire to obey him, but also the actual ability to obey him. A fifth and very practical benefit of scripture memorization is that it will file away at the fangs of anxiety in your life. Okay, do you ever lie awake at night? Lie awake because you're stressing over what's coming tomorrow or a week from now. Maybe you're lying there filled with regret and embarrassment or whatever else at some. Maybe it's a silly mistake. Maybe it's a really big and important mistake. Maybe you did something wrong and it's hounding you. And you're lying there and you can't sleep and you can't break that cycle. Do you know how you set yourself free from that? Do you know how you begin to sleep? You begin to speak truth to yourself. You begin to recite scripture to yourself. And as you begin to recite scripture to yourself, as your mind is stuck in that loop, what happens is the light of God's word drives away the darkness of doubt and fear. As we focus outwardly for a second, there is a sixth very real benefit to scripture memorization. As you memorize the Bible, you will be better equipped to be used by Christ to build up his body. It's a great privilege. Scripture memorization gives you the privilege of being used by God. I already mentioned Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. But then that verse goes on to say, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. That's the purpose. One of the purposes is that you might be able to teach and admonish one another. Proverbs 25, verse 11 says, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. One commentator says about Proverbs 25, timely blessings flow when the heart full of God's love is able to draw on a mind full of God's word. a final and seventh benefit of scripture memorization is that it will just awaken greater love for God himself in your heart. As you memorize his word, your excitement over who God is will grow. Your affection for him will grow. Your affection for the world will begin to diminish. For me, a highlight of my early morning devotions is those moments when my wife turns to me with the smile on her face and excitement in her heart over something about God that she's discovered in his word. I've seen over and over again how Taryn's love and wonder at God has grown as a result of her treasuring his word in her heart. In the Psalms especially, you see the cycle, right? You see an increased love for God leads to an increased love for his word, a greater commitment to his word. And then as your commitment to his word increases, what happens is your love for him increases. And this is just a cycle that perpetuates itself. You see it in the Psalms again and again. The Psalms are full of these beautiful songs of praise for God. And as you read those Psalms, they're infectious. They spur up excitement in your own heart as well. If you're saved, right, if you're redeemed, if you love Jesus, you can't read Psalm 103, for example, without growing in your excitement for who he is. Just imagine what happens when you begin to memorize that psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons your iniquities, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle, and on the psalm goes. Try memorizing it. See if you don't love God more often. I'm sure you get the point. So I hope that you guys are somewhat motivated at least. Motivated to either begin a habit of meditating on God's word, or else maybe you're rekindling a dwindling habit of meditating on his word. But I really hope that you desire to experience some of these benefits of scripture memorization that we've considered. It might be that you want to do it, but you don't know how to do it. Okay, that's good. You've convinced me. It's worth our hard work. But how? Practically, it's like you still haven't told me how. For the remainder of our time this morning, I want us to just look at a couple of practical pointers, some tips to help us in our scripture memorization efforts. Right, that's the third point for this morning. We'll see some methods for meditating on God's word. The first practical pointer I have for you for meditating on God's word, for memorizing scripture, is to be strategic in the passages that you choose. Okay? I am firmly persuaded, hopefully you understand and know this about me, I completely believe that all of scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. Right? I'm not denying that. But at the same time, I understand that there are verses in the Bible that have more obvious, practical, immediate application to our lives than other passages. Right? If you're going to begin to memorize scripture, it probably is not the best idea to go to the end of Exodus and begin memorizing the passages that talk about how to construct the tabernacle. Is it inspired? Yes. Should you begin memorizing it tomorrow? I don't think so. For most of us, that's not going to be the place to start, right? But it is an exceedingly good idea to begin memorizing passages that focus on the character and the nature and the works of God himself. Right? That's a great place to start. That's going to have immediate effect in your life. There's a reason why Psalm 23 is so well known and so loved by Christians. Because it exalts something of who our God is. Well, I just read Psalm 139 this morning. Some years ago, Taryn and I followed a scripture memorization plan that began with Psalm 139. It's a great choice. It's a great place to begin. It is a passage that has very practical, immediate application for your life. Oh, Lord, you have searched me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down. And you're intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Maybe you choose a passage that exalts the work of Christ. Maybe something like Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16, where we read about Jesus as our high priest who has passed through the heavens, who is seated at God's right hand, so that the throne of God has become for us a throne of grace where we can come to find mercy in our need. That's a great verse to memorize. What about Colossians 1, verses 15 to 17 that speak about the greatness of Christ as our creator and our king, the one who has not only made everything, but who holds everything together by the strength of his might? Or even Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8, that just portrays for us the beauty of the humility of Jesus and his work on our behalf when he died on the cross for us. Then after you've memorized some passages, strategic passages about who God is and what it is that he has done for us, I would suggest that you follow that up with some targeted areas where your Christian growth needs reinforcement. Right? If there's an area in your life where you are particularly tempted towards sin, begin to find verses in the Bible, right? You don't want to go to the concordance on the shelf. You want those verses to be there. You want the sword in your hand. So find verses and begin to memorize verses that speak specifically to those areas in your life. This is an example that I use often, but I think it works well. If you're someone who struggles to share the gospel with someone, you have no idea how to do that. That just intimidates you, right? Go to Titus chapter 3 and memorize Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 7. And you get into this situation where someone talks to you about his life and how miserable it is and how he hates his sister and they're just destroying each other and you have hope for this guy, but you're not sure how to talk to him. Then you say to him, you know what? We all were once foolish ourselves, disobedient and deceived and enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending ourselves in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of God and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. Not on the basis of deeds that we have done in righteousness, but because of his mercy, by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know? And then just talk about those verses, and you share the gospel with him. If you struggle with purity in your speech, go to the verses at the end of Ephesians 4 through to the beginning of Ephesians 5, where it talks about not only what we should talk about, but how we should do it and what the kind of things are that we should not say. Like if you struggle with worry, go to the end of Matthew 6, verse 25, where Jesus says, do not worry. And he doesn't just say, don't worry. He begins to explain to you why you shouldn't worry. Memorize those verses and it will help you. I could keep listing passages, but I'm sure you get the point. Another helpful approach, another practical way to begin to choose passages to memorize is to just build out for yourself a systematic theology. Find verses that speak to specific areas like the deity of Christ or whatever it might be, you know, a passage that deals with a specific area so that you can build your general knowledge of biblical theology. Years ago, when I first began to read books by Jerry Bridges, I came across this organization that he was a part of called the Navigators. The Navigators Press actually produced a system for scripture memorization, and they have a list of passages that deal with precisely this. It targets certain areas in Christian theology. It begins with the gospel, passages about the gospel, and then it goes all over Christian theology and gives you verses on which to hang that knowledge. That's a great list. It's called the Topical Memory System. When I first saw it, I bought a little book and it came with little tear-off cards that you had to put in a little plastic thing. They've since made a smartphone app, so you can now have it on your phone for as long as we're allowed to do that, and it makes life much easier to memorize the Bible while we can do it that way. Okay. Related to the choice of passage that you memorize, a second helpful tip I have for you is to start small and work your way up. One of my Hebrew professors, this was actually one of the first sentences I heard in my instruction in seminary. The first ever class I had in seminary was Hebrew grammar, quite a place to begin, your seminary education, and I think the professor understood and knew that, and so he wanted to encourage us. And he said to us, listen, give yourself to this, because if you do well, you will enjoy the experience. And the more you enjoy this, the better you will do at it. That's the way life works, right? So you see how that works, right? Start small. Don't say, I'm going to memorize Leviticus. That's where I'm going to start. Right? Don't do that. Right? Start with something small. I would suggest start with a passage that you almost know already. You're so familiar with it. You can go there. You can like kind of paraphrase it. You've almost got it down, right? Do the effort. Go to that passage and actually memorize it. Have it down cold. That's not going to take long. Then go to another one. And once you've gotten a few hits under your belt, go to one that you've not yet memorized, but that's a good passage. And then memorize something that you've never looked at before. Then once you have a few verses in place, you know, you've got a few verses about who God is. You've got some verses to deal with the areas of sin in your life that you're struggling with now. You've got some theology verses in your mind. Maybe you go to a bigger section of Scripture. Maybe you tackle a paragraph. Maybe it's time for you to go to Titus 3, verses 3 to 7. You know, memorize that little section. Have that in your arsenal of verses for conversations with unbelievers. Memorize a few passages like that. Maybe you get to a point where you think, you know what, I want to try it. I want to memorize a chapter. If you're going to memorize a chapter, make sure it's a good one. Make sure it's one that you find immediate use for. Right? Romans 8. It's a long chapter, but man, it's a rich chapter. If you memorize Romans 8, it will change your life. That chapter alone will change your life. How about Psalm 139? John chapter 1. There are many chapters in the Bible that are just so rich, so full of great theology, all combined in one chapter, that if you memorize that, it will spur you on. Once you've done that, you're going to think, you know what? I'm ready. I'm going to try a book. Then, don't do Leviticus, okay? Do a short book. Do a New Testament book. There's a reason why, two reasons why we started with Titus. I'm preaching through Titus, so when I'm not doing topical sermons, I'm preaching through Titus, and it's a short book. There's a very helpful booklet by a guy called Andy Davis. Andy Davis has written a few books. One of them, I've read some of his works. Very good. This little booklet is called An Approach to the Extended Memorization of Scripture. You can buy it as a Kindle book, or you can download it for free as a PDF from his own website. So if you Google Andy Davis, An Approach to the Extended Memorization of Scripture, you're going to find a place where you can download it for free. And he's going to give you some tips for how to memorize larger chunks of Scripture. Okay? Be strategic about what you choose to memorize. Start small, work your way up to bigger passages, and then thirdly, be consistent. This is crucially important. Okay? Establish a routine where Scripture memorization becomes a regular part of your everyday. You must be consistent. My suggestion is that you combine your Scripture memorization with your prayer time. Okay? If you want your memorization of Scripture to turn into meditation of Scripture, which is the goal, right? We want to treasure His Word. We want to internalize it. If that's your goal, then what you've got to do is you've got to begin to, you've got to treasure it. You do that through prayerfully considering what you are memorizing. Take it to the Lord. You know, if you're convicted over sin as you memorize Scripture, confess that sin to God. Ask Him to change you. If your heart is filled with wonder at who God is, either in His character or in what it is that He has done for us, praise Him for that. Thank Him. But go to Him in prayer as a result of your and as a part of your Scripture memorization. That's the only time when your Scripture memorization will begin to transform you, when it will begin to take you down this path that leads to true and lasting success. Fourth tip is keep at it. It's closely related to being consistent, but keep at it. Don't give up. When you have a verse memorized, don't pat yourself on the back and say, good, now I can take a few weeks off. Right? Choose the next verse. Maintain that habit. Keep going. And once you have a verse memorized, don't let go of the previous one. Right? Review the verse that you've already memorized. Take it with you. This time, it's my Greek professor. My Greek professor in seminary would often say to us, the key to learning is repetition. And repetition is the key to learning. Then he'd laugh because he thinks he's made his point, right? You see how that works. Crossway published something called the Truth Memory Plan. Truth Memory Plan, you're going to see, like, I have quite a few Scripture memorization things I've explored before, hey? The Truth Memory Plan has a very helpful step-by-step process for memorizing different passages of Scripture at a time. They, too, I think, have a suggested list of verses. Tara and I found that system very helpful. It's very simple. You begin by reading the passage you want to memorize. On, let's say, Monday morning, you read the passage out loud 10 times. And then you say it to yourself 10 times without looking. If you have to look, you look. But if you've just read it out loud 10 times, you're not going to have to look. Read it out loud 10 times, say it out loud 10 times. Then the next morning, you come and you don't look. You just begin by saying out loud 10 times that verse. If you get stuck, look. But try to say it without looking. And then you repeat that process every day for the rest of the week. Next morning, say the verse 10 times without looking. If you have to look, look. By Wednesday, you're not going to have to look. Keep doing that for until the end of the week, right? Next week, you get to the next verse. You read that verse out loud to yourself 10 times. You say it out loud 10 times. And then you say last week's verse once out loud. Tomorrow, the next day, you know, you say the second verse out loud 10 times without looking. If you have to look, you look. And you say the previous week's verse out loud once. And you see how that works. And you keep going. So by week 4, you've now got 4 verses that you're memorizing, but you've said the first one 30 days in a row now. 28 days, but who's counting, right? By that time, you have it memorized. So now you can just come back to it periodically, maybe once a week. So you only really need to be going with 5 different verses at a time, if you're doing it one at a time, and you're going to be memorizing scripture and retaining it quite quickly. It works well. We did it. We liked it. I said that we did it, and we liked it, because that's my 5th tip for you when it comes to scripture memorization. Be accountable to someone. Find someone who will hold you accountable. Better yet, find someone who will do it with you, someone who will partner with you. It's okay to have someone hold you accountable, but if that person is doing it with you, then there's camaraderie there, right? There's you guys doing it together. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9, 2 are better than 1, because if you fall, there will be someone to help you up. Accountability will keep you going when your own resolve to keep going threatens to give way. Okay, be strategic about the verses you choose. Start small. Be consistent. Don't give up and be accountable. And then finally, if you're saying, I still don't think I can do it, Isaac, just try this kind of out there tip. Try music. I was surprised to see the difference that music makes to the process of memorization. There are some music groups who base their songs entirely just on passages of the Bible. My favorite one is a group called Seeds Family Worship. Seeds Family Worship have like these little kids sing the songs, but they're surprisingly catchy music. And one of the reasons why I love it is because you can't help it. You begin to sing with, and pretty soon you begin singing scripture that you've memorized without even realizing it. There are passages in the Bible that I don't recite by saying them. I recite them by singing them because that's how I've learned them, and they've stuck that way just because I listen to music. Right? Corner Room is another band. I think Seeds Family Worship is easier to memorize from, but Corner Room does the same thing. Their songs, it's just scripture. Okay? Now, all of that is introduction. There's a reason why I preach this sermon this morning. It's not for nothing. It's not just because I think it's the beginning of the year. It's not just because I didn't think I was going to get my Titus sermon done in time. I have an agenda. I want to extend an invitation to you this morning. An invitation isn't really the right word, because it's more than an invitation. It's an urgent appeal. I don't want to manipulate anybody. I don't want to strong-arm anybody. I don't want to guilt-trip you, but I want to strongly encourage you to consider joining us. I know I just said start small and work your way up. I think that's compensated for by the strong element of accountability. We're going to start memorizing another book. Tomorrow, in 1 week's time, at the 24th of January, we are going to be reciting, some of us at least who know about this are already ready to do it, we're going to be reciting Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. The next book we want to memorize as a church is Colossians. We'll be done with Colossians before the end of the year. You can go into Christmas having memorized a book of the Bible. Okay? How about you make that your present to yourself in your fight for faithfulness, having armed yourself with the book of Colossians. Colossians is short. It is full of rich theology. It ticks most of those boxes, right? It's a strategic choice in my mind. There's great accountability. It's easier to do it that way. There's a WhatsApp group that we've created, and what you do is, with Colossians, we'll do 2 verses a week, right? It's not as hard as you might think, okay? We're going to do, with Titus, what we did was Thursday and Sunday mornings, for our family to recite a verse on the Sunday morning before church is a bit of a train smash. So I asked that we can move the days. We've moved it to Mondays and Fridays, okay? So that's why we're going to start on the 24th. So we're going to recite on Mondays and Fridays, 1 verse at a time. And we'll be done with Colossians before the end of the year. Okay? Please join us. If you started with Titus, some of you may have started with Titus and you fell off and you want to finish that. We are more than willing to start a second group where we do Titus again. And if there's enough interest, or if you think 2 verses a week is more than you can handle, we want to give the opportunity to do Titus again for those who fell off or for those who are interested in memorizing Titus, because that's what I'm preaching through. We're going to do it 1 verse at a time. Okay, the Titus group will memorize 1 verse at a time. So if you're interested in joining either Colossians or Titus, speak to me or speak to Laura. Okay, and I want to strongly urge you, ask yourself, why will I not do this? Why am I not going to memorize the book of Colossians or the book of Titus? And if you don't have a good answer, if you don't have the kind of answer that you think Jesus will be satisfied when you stand before him one day, then join us. Try it. Okay? Trying and stopping is better than not even trying. Okay? So we didn't give anybody grief, except for Morris. We gave Morris some grief. But we didn't give people grief who stopped. Okay? But please, I'm saying this because I believe it will change your life. And I want to encourage you, speak to some of the people who have done this. Ask people, were you part of the people who memorized Titus? Do you think it was worth it? If you can find one person who memorized Titus who said, I don't think it was worth the effort, I think it was a waste of time, come tell me who that person is, and then feel free not to memorize Colossians again. But really, I'm telling you, you will not waste your time. You will not be sad at the end of the year. So please join us. If your heart is going to keep God's commandments, if you're going to internalize those commandments so that they change who you are, how you think and how you react and what you believe and what you love, then one of the most effective ways to do that is to begin a systematic process of memorizing the Bible. We live in a post-Christian world. We need to arm ourselves. We need to be ready. The mounting opposition will only increase in the days and the years ahead of us. It is only by guarding the truth, treasuring God's truth in our hearts, that we will be equipped to stand firm with the strength that God himself supplies us. Proverbs 3 verse 1 calls on us to run to God's word as the foundation on which we stand. And if we do, then we will experience the only kind of peace and success that has any lasting value. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.